The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter, beginning at verse 15. It is the account of Jacob's sons coming to Joseph after Jacob had died, worried that Joseph would take revenge upon them. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. Now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. He will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 21. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had. Make payment, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. And when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant? I had mercy on you." And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. I have, if you will, two texts for today. One is from the epistle lesson that we read earlier. Romans chapter 14, beginning at verse 4. "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls." But also from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "For freedom, Christ has set us free." These are our texts. If God wanted man to fly, he would have given him wings. Right? Some of you are smiling. I think none of you believe what I just said. But don't laugh at it so much, because it does reflect a theology that has, and still is, part of the way some Christians think in this world. If we go all the way back to the 15th century and the Reformation, although we as Lutherans think there was just one Reformation going on, there is actually a couple of them. Luther was the leader predominantly of the German Lutherans. But there were other people, names like John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli. I like that name in particular. Who led another aspect of the Reformation. And in their approach to freedom, they were distinctly different. As Luther understood Scripture, and partly from Romans chapter 14, which we just read today, his theology was governed by Christian liberty. That if it was neither commanded nor forbidden in Scripture, then the Christian was at liberty to make up his mind, as you're whether he wanted to do it or not. Back in the days of Paul writing to the Romans, questions over, well, can we eat meat sacrificed to idols or not? There were a lot of arguments about that question. Paul said, you know, make up your own mind. Do what you think is the best way that you can serve God, but don't pass judgment over someone else that they disagree with you. Jewish elements of the church had a lot of different days that they honored. Every new moon, the different Jewish festivals, Passover, Tabernacles, Pentecost, Dedication, Yom Kippur, the Feast of Trumpets. You added up all the days off they had back then, it was a lot more than even if you get 5 weeks vacation today. But the Gentile Christians didn't honor all those days. Circumcision, that was a really big fight. Yes, God commanded the Jews to do that, but he didn't command the Gentiles. What are we to do? Don't think they weren't fighting tooth and nail about that and all kinds of other questions. But Paul and also the other apostles, the leaders at Jerusalem, quickly came to the conclusion that what God didn't command you to do in Scripture, what God didn't forbid you to do in Scripture, something you could make your own mind up about. That's how Luther taught. But as I said, there was another Reformation going on. One where you didn't have to have a clear word of God, you just had to have a good argument from human reason. Now, the issues were varied. But it kind of went like this. If God had wanted man to fly, he would have given him wings. If God wanted us to sing with organs in the church, he would have invented organs. And in the other Reformation, all the organs in the churches were smashed. Well, we have Christian symbolism in our stained glass windows, even today when you go in to churches of other reformations. You may see stained glass, but you're not going to see any symbolism in it. There are all kinds of other ways. The general rule was, if God didn't command it in Scripture, we don't do it. Maybe that seemed reasonable. That's not what Scripture taught. For freedom, Christ has set us free. God didn't redeem us to be enslaved to human opinion. To serve us or to serve him, yes. But to serve the opinions of others, no. And that's why it is in this portion of Romans chapter 14 where Paul is talking about judging one another that he writes this. For none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be both the Lord Lord, both of the dead and of the living. One of the challenges of the era in which we are living are all kinds of debates, some of which where God has clearly spoken. And so when we come into an area where God has spoken clearly, we, as God's people, need to speak clearly. What human lives matter? All. Even those which have been conceived but not yet born. Make no mistake about that. The Word of God is clear on such issues. Though I have kind of strong opinions in certain other areas of things that we are arguing about as a society today, I'm not going to tell you them here. Because my task as your pastor is to tell you what God has said and what he has not said. To not pass judgment on you when your opinion differs from mine, even when mine seems to sound like it's pretty reasonable. Like, you know, if God wanted us to fly, he would have given us wings. And one of the remarkable things about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and this is going way back, friends, we were one of the few church bodies back in the days of the Civil War never to take a position on slavery. Many German Lutherans fought and died on the side of the North during those days. But the church itself never spoke on that issue. Because Scripture never comes out and condemns the institution. It does tell slave owners back in the days of the Romans how they should treat slaves. It taught slaves how they should treat their masters. I can't quote you specific instances, but, you know, it would have been a remarkable thing back in the days of the Christian church, because one of the things Paul wanted slaves to do in regard to their masters is to bear witness to them. And I have no doubt, in fact, I know as a fact, there were instances where there were slaves who brought their masters Christ. Would it not have been such a strange thing that when serving in a household, a slave would have to do what the master said, but then when they went to church, and suppose that slave was an elder, even the pastor of that congregation, the tables would be turned. And each love and respect each other in the different places that God puts us in life. Free to share our opinions with one another, but where the Word of God had not clearly spoken, not judge one another. Whether or not we can meet sacrifice to idols, whether or not we need to get circumcised, whether or not we can do all kinds of things that were issues in the early church we don't argue about today. We have our own arguments. That outside of the church, and sometimes even entering into the church, are tearing our nation apart. Let us be clear in our witness to the world. When God has spoken, we need to speak. But let us also recognize that where we don't have a clear word of God to stand, God has granted us liberty to disagree, still love one another, respect each other, honor each other, and serve one another. That is a way of living that our world doesn't understand today. But it is a way of living that we need to carry out in our own lives. To bear witness to the life to which God has called us. And to show the world who our true master is. A God who created us different and yet loves us all equally. God who's created us with different skin colors, with different gifts, with different talents, with different ideas. But where he has spoken, we indeed need to remain clear in our testimony. But where God has clearly not spoken, we need to not judge one another, but to respect and honor each other. As we live in this world, we live to the Lord as our Redeemer, as our Savior. And if we die, we go on living to Him as our Redeemer and our Savior. So whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that He might be the Lord, and not just of our life, but the Lord of everyone's life. Telling us what the good life is, but also leaving us free to be different, still love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.